Welcome to this deep dive. Today, we are reflecting on a really significant message. It was delivered just yesterday, May 4th, 2025.
Right, by Brother Steve over at New Life Benson.
Exactly. And you can find the full recording on their YouTube channel, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But the heart of his sermon, it really centered on this crucial idea for us, you know, as believers, actively hungering and thirsting for righteousness.
Especially in a world that often feels, well, challenging to navigate as Christians.
It does. So our purpose today is pretty clear.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try to draw out the key reminders from Brother Steve's words about how we should be living, how we should be striving in what he called this dark world.
That's right. It was a powerful reminder, I thought, to really examine, you know, the desires of our hearts, our spiritual appetites. It carries such important implications for our lives today.
Okay, let's get right to the core of it then. Brother Steve spent a good amount of time on Matthew 5.6, that beautiful beatitude. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Such a foundational truth.
Isn't it?
Indeed. And I found his observation about its placement really insightful. He pointed out how this beatitude, it follows others in a sequence, almost builds upon them. It highlights that this deep longing for righteousness isn't just some isolated feeling. It comes from recognizing our own spiritual need, maybe, and sorrow over sin.
That makes complete sense when you look at the flow of those opening statements in Matthew.
Yeah.
And then he really dug into the meaning of being filled.
Right.
He mentioned the original Greek word chartazo, calling it a particularly expressive term. Can you elaborate on that a bit?
Yeah, it's quite illuminating, actually. Brother Steve explained that chartazo is related to the idea of, like, thoroughly feeding animals, providing everything they could possibly want to eat. So in a spiritual sense, this filling isn't just a small measure. It signifies being completely satisfied with righteousness, a total fulfillment.
Wow. What a powerful way to understand that promise. But then he introduced this really vital concept, this idea that even as we are filled, we should never become, you know, spiritually stagnant or think we've arrived.
Exactly. He used that memorable illustration, didn't he? His wife's sour cream chicken enchiladas.
But
you
yeah.
feel completely full after eating them, but there's still that lingering desire for just maybe one more bite.
Right, right.
He's so cleverly connected that to our relationship with Jesus, we are made righteous through him, yes, but we should maintain that constant active craving for more of his presence, more of his ways.
That analogy truly hits home.
Mm-hmm.
It really clarifies the difference between sort of passively possessing righteousness and actively hungering and thirsting for it.
Mm.
One suggests, I guess, a finished state, whereas the other is a continuous journey, a persistent seeking.
That's a crucial distinction for us to grasp as believers. And he emphasized this more with that analogy of a sporting event, you have to run through the bag, he said.
Right. Don't stop short.
Don't stop just before the goal. In our spiritual lives, that means continually pursuing God's righteousness throughout our sanctification, never getting complacent.
And it was so good how Brother Steve anchored this in Scripture, too. He brought in those Psalms and that passage from Jeremiah, verses like Psalm 107.9.
Yes, stating that God satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Beautiful.
In Jeremiah 31.14, where the Lord declares, "My people shall be satisfied with my goodness."
Those scriptures beautifully affirm God's commitment, his promise, to meet the deepest spiritual longings of those who genuinely seek him.
Absolutely.
He also touched on those passages in John chapter 4 and chapter 6 about, you know, never thirsting or never hungering in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But he gave that important caution, didn't he? That straying from God's will. Well, that can lead us right back to that place of spiritual emptiness and longing.
Precisely. Which naturally led him to this idea of blessed dissatisfaction, that phrase.
Mm-hmm.
It really resonated with me.
It's a potent concept, isn't it? This continuous spiritual yearning. He then posed the first of his hunger and thirst test questions. Are you dissatisfied with yourself spiritually?
Oof. That's a searching question for every one of us who claims to follow Christ.
It really is.
And that quote he shared from Thomas Watson was so impactful. He has most need of righteousness that least wants it. It's a stark warning against spiritual apathy.
Definitely. And then Brother Sigurd pointed to Paul's own heartfelt cry in Romans chapter 7, "O wretched man that I am," as just a powerful example of this authentic spiritual dissatisfaction.
That honest acknowledgement of our own inherent failings, it's so vital for continued growth.
It is. He then pressed us further, asking, do we truly desire to be made fully like Christ? Or have we become comfortable, content with where we are in our spiritual journey?
That really challenges us to examine the deepest longings of our hearts, doesn't it?
It does.
The next question he posed was equally thought-provoking. Do external things truly satisfy you? This felt particularly relevant, I think, given the constant bombardment of worldly stuff in our culture.
Absolutely. His example of someone turning to shopping to find comfort, it really exposes that deceptive sense of fulfillment, you know?
It does.
Brother Steve made it crystal clear. Only righteousness can truly satisfy a hunger for righteousness. Nothing else in this world can fill that specific void.
I really appreciated his straightforward analogies there. A truly hungry person wants food, not flowers.
Right.
A genuinely thirsty person craves water, not melodies. It powerfully illustrates where our ultimate focus needs to be.
It does. And he rightly connected this to the potential danger for the modern day church, maybe, to seek satisfaction in things other than a deep relationship with God and his word.
That's such a critical point for us to consider, which led him to the third question. Do you possess a deep appetite for the word of God?
Yes. He called the Bible our essential instruction manual for living a righteous life, and rightly so.
And he offered a needed critique, I felt, of the overemphasis on feelings sometimes found in Christian circles, reminding us that our walk with God must be firmly rooted in a genuine knowledge of his word, not just the the ebb and flow of our emotions.
That's such a solid foundation for any believer. It truly is. He referenced Jeremiah 15-point scene where Jeremiah speaks of eating God's words,
yes,
illustrating that profound hunger for spiritual nourishment.
That imagery is so strong.
It is. And the comparison to genuinely starving, homeless individuals readily devouring any food offered, that was vivid and convicting.
It was. And his direct question to us about our own habits of reading and studying the Bible, well, that was a powerful challenge.
Definitely.
Then came the fourth question. Are the things of God truly sweet to you? This one offered such a profound insight, I thought, especially when considering how we respond during difficult times.
Yes. Proverbs 27:7. To a hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. It offers such a counterintuitive yet deeply true perspective, doesn't it?
It really does.
It reveals that when our hearts truly hunger for righteousness, we can find God's presence and his work even in the midst of painful circumstances.
It really distinguishes between those who only find joy when things are easy.
Right.
And those who can discern God's goodness and sovereignty even during trials. His mention of the Puritan understanding, feeding on the sweetness of the gospel even in correction, that was a powerful reminder.
And the fundamental truth there is that God often uses difficulties to refine us, you know, to grow our righteousness. It's not about seeking hardship, obviously, but about how we respond to it through the lens of our faith and our hunger for him.
Well said. The final question he posed was perhaps the most personally challenging. Is your hunger and thirst for God truly unconditional?
The story of the rich young ruler so clearly illustrated the danger of a conditional desire for God.
It did indeed. Wanting God, but still holding tightly to worldly possessions or status, that reveals a heart that's not fully surrendered.
Exactly. Brother Slave emphasized that a genuine hunger for righteousness prioritizes God above every other desire, above sin, above pride, above materialism, above everything else.
His analogies were so clear again. A truly hungry person needs food, not a new suit.
Right. Simple as that.
A genuinely thirsty person needs water, not new shoes.
Oh.
In Psalm 119.20, my soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. That just captures that all-consuming, unconditional yearning so beautifully.
Precisely. And as we reflect on those five questions, they provide a really helpful framework, I think, for us to assess the true condition of our hearts and the depth of our desire for righteousness.
Brother Steve then shifted, didn't he, to the urgency of actively seeking righteousness. He referenced Isaiah 26.9.
Mm-hmm. And the example of the wise virgins.
Right. Diligently preparing. Powerful illustrations of seeking God with real intentionality.
And the stark contrast with the story of the rich man in Luke chapter 16, who hungered and thirsted in torment, but it was far, far too late.
Such a sobering warning.
It is. The call to cultivate that deep thirst for righteousness now, before it's eternally too late. That is just so incredibly vital for each one of us.
So as we, thoughtfully consider Brother Steve's message, the central reminder for us is this continuous daily necessity to actively hunger and thirst for righteousness. As Christians living in the realities of today's world,
it truly comes down to a constant examination of our hearts, perhaps using those questions he posed as a guide. Recognizing that genuine and lasting fulfillment, it's found only in seeking God's righteousness in every circumstance of our lives.
It certainly gives us much to prayerfully consider. And maybe a final thought for you listening. In what specific ways will you actively cultivate a deeper hunger and thirst for righteousness in your life, starting today? It's a lifelong pursuit, isn't it?
Sure.
And one that promises to draw us ever closer to the very heart of God.